We are just beginning a transition in our summer sermon series. So the summer is titled as a whole Lutheran 101, and today is to begin to say, what does it mean to be Lutheran today? So we're going to look kind of theologically at what it is just to be a Lutheran in the world as we gather today. Then we're going to start narrowing our focus. So we'll look then at the ELCA next week, that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, of which we are a member congregation. 2 weeks from now, we'll talk about the South Dakota Synod and all of the work that we do across our beautiful state. And then on August 23rd, we'll talk about what it is to be Spirit of Joy, who we are, how we understand ourselves in light of God's call and the Holy Scriptures. But we start with this bigger question. And I took a stab at trying to say, what does it mean to be Lutheran today? And I borrowed from language of other people who are far smarter than I. And so you'll hear things like, I don't use the phrase living in confidence, but good Lutheran theologians do. And so I think this might mean what it means to be Lutheran today. To live in confidence that God's grace is enough. That is enough. We don't have to accomplish anything on our own. And then that good news shapes and affects every breath we take, every step we take, every day that we walk on this, our God's earth. I believe that that ends up being how Paul understood and how he taught the people via the book of Romans, that letter to the congregation in Rome. In the center of that book, I think that he was trying to say to them, to be a Christian, one who follows Christ, is to live in confidence that God's grace is enough. The works of the law, they are a part. But instead, God's grace for each and every one, no matter what. And then that ought shape life. So what I want to do, I want to look at Romans. I want to then talk through just chapter 11, or chapter 10 as we have it today and what we read. And then I want to just look at one of the saints of God's church and think about how that might have come into play. So Romans, I think of it in three chunks. And you have often heard me say chapters 1 through 8, it's Paul's theological masterpiece. And essentially he says, if this is true, then this must be true. And if that's true, then this has to be true. And it leads all the way from God's claiming of Abraham as righteous. He who was not Jewish, he who did not know God, but who was walking through the world, God said, you're going to be the one. That choosing without any work from Abraham led then all the way through chapter 8, those verses that are my funeral verses, and for many of you the same. What can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus in our Lord? Nothing. Not death, nor life, nor rulers or powers that are to come, angels or demons, the list is long. Nothing can separate us from Christ Jesus our Lord. That's chapters 1 through 8. If God chose Abraham, who knew nothing about anything, and said, this one, the logical conclusion then is that each and every one of us is united to Christ via his death and resurrection. The chunk we have then, I think, is interlude. Paul C. had a crisis as he was going throughout the early church, and it was that those folks who were his closest relatives were the ones who were doing the least listening to him. He was proclaiming again and again God's good news, and the folks who were Israel were the ones who were the least likely to hear and to move toward Christianity. This, by the way, is similar to Martin Luther's experience, where he struggled and struggled and especially then turned really vitriolic and awful toward the end of his life, toward Jewish people. But Paul said here, you folks, your faith is still valid. God's promises are true. We're not trying to do away with that. However, what I want you to have is the good news of God's grace, and you're missing out on it. You're missing out on God's love for you, and I want that for you again and again. And so cling to these promises. So, After that interlude, he said, okay, back to the if then. If all of that is true and nothing can separate us from Christ Jesus our Lord, not death or life, what are we to do? And that then is where he talked about spiritual gifts and how it is that we, each and every one of us, are part of a community, a body that needs each other, and that day in and day out, we become the body of Christ for all God's world. That is Romans in the 30 seconds I can try to do it. So let's look at chapter 10 then. Again, three parts. We read, or the chunks we read, verses 1 through 17, are broken down into three parts. It begins with, I, friends, have been proclaiming this good news, and it is my heart's desire. Did you notice that phrase? It's Paul's deepest yearning that people would hear and would begin to accept that good news of Christ. And that truth is that righteousness is not achieved, but received as free gift from God. This, by the way, I think is really Lutheran theology all the way back in Paul's letter to the congregation in Rome. Then 13, 5 through 13, is the reaching down of God. Here, Paul's going to go back to what he has done in other places where he says it is Christ coming down to earth that is the gift of God. Not our aspiring to climb up to heaven by the things that we do, but that it is God's willingness to get God's hands dirty here on this earth in all our brokenness, our flaws, our evil, and to once and for all answer our questions. Are we worthy? Yes, because Christ said so. The end. Then you get this interesting little departure, and it essentially says, folks can't hear the word if we don't share the word. I will offer to you that to remember that quote that's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, it's probably not his, right? But it is attributed to him. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. If necessary. If necessary. We, Paul says, are each and every one of us named and claimed by God as Abraham was. And that gift is one to which we can cling. Promises kept throughout the ages for you and for me. That's interesting. It's interesting when you think then about the saints of the church. You know who this is? It's Mother Teresa. Yep. That saint of Calcutta who started the Sisterhood of Charity or the Sisters of Charity in 1950, who had a vibrant faith life, and then after her death, we learned, had endured what we call 50 years of the dark night of the soul. That she, for 50 years, had wrestled with her God while we watched her become a saint, while we watched her take the gift from the mafia, remember that? $1 million in a suitcase? And say, I know what I can do with this on the streets of Calcutta. When we saw her have audience after audience with the Pope, when we saw her get her hands dirty in the streets, she was every night in her chambers praying fervently for God to reveal God's self. The very end of her life, she had a breakthrough, and it was a gift just before her death. And it was simply that, looking back at her life, she saw Christ all the way through. While she had been looking for big emotional experiences, while she had been looking for God's voice to whisper into her ear, when she had been looking for those signs of God's promise in her life, her steadfastness, her faithfulness to her call, her willingness to walk in the ways of Christ had revealed him every day. In the person lying in the gutter, in the mouth that had no food to eat but that she could fill, in the community that began to form around those good deeds and gather from around the world. What she discovered was that God had been present with her that whole time. in the lowest of places, and that that gift was indeed hers to cling to. So, what is it to be Lutheran today? I think it means that we proclaim Jesus first, last, and always. It's how we read Scripture. It's how we think about how we live as a community. It's what we do every day. Are we today being, as Luther called, little Christs out into this world? Are we as a community a reflection of God's will and the whole work of the Holy Spirit? And are we as a world claiming Christ above all? And what does that mean? If we say Christ alone, we say grace alone. Because in Christ Jesus, what is revealed to us is that truth, that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is the central truth of what it means to be Lutheran, to claim that for ourselves and to proclaim it for others. How do we know that? We know that because God's word says that. Romans 10, 1 through 17. Romans as a whole. We, each one of us, is claimed by God, made righteous, so that nothing can separate us. We figure that out not on our own. I am strange. I am likely to wander in the woods, and I need you all to hold my theology into account. I need you all to help me see Christ as Mother Teresa saw Christ. I need you all to help me claim that grace for myself, because boy, do I want to be in charge. And together, we need each other to walk those roads. What does it mean to be Lutheran today? It means to live in places of gray, to be committed to hard truths and not seek the easy answer. We talk about paradoxes in our world, and you've heard me talk about saint and sinner, law and gospel as some of those examples. We as Lutherans insist that God gave us this brain up here so that we could wrestle with the truths of the world in light of Christ Jesus, to seek God's justice and to demand that each and every day we draw closer to Christ. But we understand that that's never going to be an easy journey. The work of discernment and being in community is going to mean we're always pushing and pulling and trying to understand how it is that we can push forward together on the hard things. That's what this is. Constantly discerning God's will. I think I know something. I also think that I might be wrong. And I think that, then, is maybe one of the most Lutheran stances that we can take. To have the humility to say, I understand this much. I trust that you understand this much, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand so much more. That's the work of discernment, to begin to say, hey, I am looking for God's will, not in myself, but in us, in God's world, and where the Holy Spirit will lead us via the Scriptures. And then this last part, what does it mean to be Lutheran? It does not mean to be a pastor or a deacon. It means to love your neighbor as yourself. Not because you're going to get something out of it. Think of Mother Teresa. 50 years of the dark night of the soul, and yet she showed up to feed those mouths day in and day out, to bandage those wounds, to cover those heads who had no home. You all are called to do that. To show up for your neighbor, to show up for each other, to love one another as God has first loved us, without reservation, going into the hard places, proclaiming that good news. What does it mean to be Lutheran today? It means to bring the fullness of who we are to our faith. It means that we are willing to engage with one another and our world, not seeking a simple emotional or shallow, easy answer, but instead seeking the truth that God reveals in God's word, in community, and in holiness with one another through God's Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be Lutheran today? It means to love your neighbor, to trust God's promises, and to come to this place knowing that you are not worthy, but that God has said you are. Amen.